The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right. Let's dive in. I had a great week down in Florida. I got a little bit of a sunburn on my neck, and I got stuck down there because you all decided to have a windstorm. I've never even heard of a windstorm, but the flights were all canceled, and I couldn't get home, and so four of us were down there, Pastor Gary, myself, Anthony, and Gary's wife, Ange, and we decided, well, we got to get home for church, so we rented a car yesterday and drove up. So I'm tired, but I'm here. Because I'm tired, I may have talked slower, or I just may have rambled more. I'm just giving you a heads up. We got out about 15 minutes late in the first service, so you might be here in a little while, okay? We are continuing in our series on 40 Days of Prayer, and I'm excited for what this series has done for me. I've been in ministry since the age of 19. When I was licensed into the gospel ministry, I was sent off to Bible school and have been doing it ever since. And what I thought I saw in myself as great faith, I've been convicted like I never have before about prayer. I've never really considered myself a person that prays a lot. I mean, I pray over my meals. I pray when you ask me to pray for you. But as I go about encountering struggles and obstacles in my life, unless it's something like emergency level, I've never really been drawn to deep moments of prayer. I've always been kind of like this, you know. Oh, we got this situation. All right, well, you know what? I really believe God's got that. Let's keep going. I've never let those kinds of things worry me or throw me off. And some people have said, aren't you like frustrated and anxious and worried? And I'm like, no, God's got it. And so that's how I handled those situations. And instead of praying often, I would just be like, we're good. And so this has been convicting me that I'm not praying like I should. That probably there might be some of you like me that are not praying like we should. And my hope today is that you would take some of the patterns that we're going to look through together, some of the models, and I'm going to use them in my life to begin to develop some habits in my own daily routine. And I hope you will too. Before we continue going, I want to give you an opportunity. If you don't yet have our journal that we're using for this series, we have a journal that if all you're doing is listening to the Sunday morning messages, you're only getting 10% of this series. This journal has daily quiet times. It has places for you to write prayer requests and just talk to God and through writing. It also has all our notes for our community groups and our small group meetings. And so if you would like a book, we're at day 21. Is today day 21? It's somewhere in there. And we have three books left. We've given out like 227 or so, and we have three books left. Who needs it? Who needs the books? One back there? Anybody else? I see a couple hands over here. All right, so we'll leave your hands up. They'll get the books to you. And we want you to dive in and milk this series for all it's worth. Prayer is an important thing. It's not just something we do as a part of a religious ritual. It's us communicating with God and having our hearts open to Him on a regular basis. For those of you that have been around church environments or Christian environments for 20 plus years, you may have heard of a study done back in the 80s, 90s called Experiencing God. Anyone? Anyone heard of that one? Written by Henry Blackaby. One of the foundational principles was this, that God is always at work and simply wants you to join Him in that. And so my hope is that as we become a praying people, we would have our eyes open to what God is always doing in the lives of our coworkers, our neighbors, and our schools, on our sports teams, in the life of our barista that we see every day when we get that cup of Starbucks, that we would see God and what He's doing and join Him in that work. And so that's where we're going today as we look at our schedule, developing a pattern of prayer on a daily routine. So let me pray and we'll dive in. God, thank you so much for your love for us. And being a God that is accessible, a God that draws us to yourself and desires to have an intimate relationship with us. So God, I pray for myself that I would become more of a habit. not out of religious obligation or some kind of duty, but God, because you are my daddy, my spiritual father, who is there wanting to lead me, show me, direct me, to give me advice, I pray that you help me to look to you more. And I pray that for all of us in this room. In your name we pray. Amen. This past week, the conference we attended was a church planning conference, and many times it's mostly focused on the practical things you need to do to be successful in planting churches. And this year, they invited a guest speaker to come in, a pastor who planted 20-something years ago, and he's helped plant 22 churches out of his church in the past 20 years. And he was invited to start off our week with a devotional. And so he said, well, you know, I searched and prayed and tried to figure out. And so I thought, you know, I'm being led to do a devotional. So let me look up the word devotional in the Bible. And he said, the word devotional doesn't exist in the Bible. But there are two words that are close to it, devote and devoted. And if you look up the word devote and devoted often in different scriptures, it almost always has to do with prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. They were devoted to the reading of God's word and to praying. They were devoted to praying for one another. Being devoted, you almost can't do it without being a prayerful person. And that hit me because I'm devoted. I study the scriptures a lot. I try to do what the scriptures teach us. And I pray for you when you ask me to pray for you. But I couldn't say, and I can't say, that I pray about everything. And that's what this challenge has been. 40 days of prayer has been that we would go to God with everything. You have not because you ask not. Come to your Father and present your request to Him. Come to Him on all occasions, in all situations. Our opening verse today is from Ephesians 6:18. And it says, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. To do this, you must always be ready and never give up, and always pray for all of God's people. The focus and the challenge that has been hitting me is I need to become more of a person of prayer. The pastor who opened up our week challenged us with a couple things I want to throw at you just because they hit me hard, and I hope that they hit you in the same way. I'm going to give you just a few of them. First of all, he said, prayer will drive back our fears and empower us in our times of weakness. Back in the year 2000, Brandy and I felt like it was time for us to take steps towards planning a church. We were afraid. We hadn't ever done it before. There was no money. It wasn't like you could go to a company and be hired as a church planner. There was very few models or training or coaches at that time. And so we tried it, and it didn't work out too well. I ended up having to get a job at Visitor Control at the Pentagon, basically. If you didn't show up with the right numbers of IDs, I wouldn't let you in. I was that big, bad Pastor John saying, no, you can't come in this powerful building. I'm the one that gets to call that shot. That was weird. So I was doing that bivocationally while trying to help a church plant up in Lorton. And we were afraid, like, God, what, is this the right thing? Are we taking the right steps? And God continued to lead us. And today, you know, we're here today. It took a little while to get launched. About 8 years later, 10 years later, in 2010, was it 2010 we launched? I'm getting all my dates wrong. It's been 7 years already, almost eight. So prayer will drive back our fears and empower us in our time of weakness. These are all out of order. So the second one I'm going to read you is prayer opens doors for the gospel and leads us into divine appointments. There have been times where I'm meeting with people or just going on about my day and praying, God, show me what it is you want me to see. And all of a sudden, I run into somebody who, I don't know them, but they needed something, and I was able to be a part of meeting that need. My hope is that as we pray, we would have eyes open to the Spirit leading, that we're always praying in the Spirit. We're in tune and aligned. God, what are you doing around me? I'm sitting here at work. My coworker is struggling. How do you want me to be used to affect the life of my coworker? Whatever it is that might be going on around you, that we're open to what the Spirit's doing and what God is doing, and we join Him in that. The next one that hit me really hard was this. If our visions are not born out of moments of intense prayer, They will tend to arise out of our own imaginations instead of coming out of God's divine inspiration. I'll read that one more time. If our visions, what we're dreaming about doing, what we're trying to, man, if we could just simply do this, if they are not born out of intense times of prayer, they will tend to arise out of our own imaginations instead of out of God's divine inspiration. We want to be doing what God wants us doing, not just stuff we're making up, pulling up out of the sky. And I can tell you that, like our Hope for Nova vision, there have been many of us praying about it. I feel confident about the big picture, but I often wonder if the way we're enacting it, things we're going after. Featherstone, is that something that was just something I think is cool? I mean, I do think it's cool if Featherstone were to work out. But God, is this of you? Is the reason the door is closed there is because you want it closed and you're trying to redirect us? Or do we not have it because we simply haven't prayed enough? On Tuesday, when I was hit with this devotional, I got a call from Joe. Some of you have met Joe. Joe's new to our church. And Joe called me and said, Pastor John, I just need to apologize. I felt like God wanted me to tell you something on Sunday, and I wasn't sure if it was God or the pizza I ate the night before, so I didn't say it to you. But I need to tell you, so I know you're in Florida, but I just want you to know that I think God is saying that you need to go over to Featherstone Plaza and you and some others from the church lay your hands on the door and just pray the door open. It's like, I just heard that this morning out of this devotional. That was like powerful confirmation that it wasn't pizza, it was God, okay? So if any of you are able and available, I'm going to go over to Featherstone probably this afternoon and pray. So if anyone wants to join me, by the end of the service, I'll come up with the time, okay? All right. Prayer infuses the vision and releases the river. They call their church River Church. 20 years ago, he became the pastor there. It was a small church of about 34 people. They had 39 parking spaces. Everybody had their own space. And the name of the church was River Church. And as he was reading through the scriptures, he found this passage that says, where the river flows, there will be life. And so his prayer was, God, help us. The community around them was very quickly becoming diverse on the outskirts of L.A., and it was just like 34, you know, older white people, and the community was changing around them, and they were like, God, how do we be life-giving to the community that you're sending here? And again, as I said, even though they're a small church, they haven't left. They now have almost 1,000 people meeting in multiple services because they still only have 39 parking spots, but they've planted 22 churches out of themselves. As they grow, they send off chunks of themselves into other parts of the town, planting new churches. And this has all come out of prayer. And prayer invites the supernatural into our ministry. It releases and invites what only God can do. And so those are some opening thoughts from my week. As we go into Rick's thoughts for this morning, we've been doing the study and pulling out some of the notes that Pastor Rick Warren wrote and how we can use them and apply to our life. So today's reading comes from Matthew chapter 6. A lot of you know it, and some of you could recite it from memory. It's the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer this morning as a tool that we can pattern a day of prayer out of. I've seen a lot of teachings from the Lord's Prayer. So here's some key foundational truths. Jesus earlier said, when you pray, don't think that because of your many words, you'll be heard just because you're saying a bunch of repetitive things. Jesus doesn't want nursery rhyme prayers. Jesus doesn't want us just saying the same thing over and over again. I know some of us come from traditions where if you sinned, you had to say certain things so many times. That's not why God created prayer. It's not a punishment or a penalty. It's a privilege for us to come to him and to have conversation with him. And so I hope I didn't offend anyone there, but just from the words of Jesus, he said, don't think that just because of your many meaningless words, you're going to be heard. Let there be meaning and point. Know what you're saying as you say it. And so Pastor Rick is going to break down for us today the Lord's Prayer and how we can use it throughout our day, from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep. Before we go there, let's just read it together. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Will we have that on the screen, Mason? Matthew 6, 5. We don't have it. Okay, so for those of you that know it by memory, recite it. And for those of you that don't, you can just kind of say it along with me. All right, here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Some of us had Old English there. Some of us had contemporary versions, but I think God understood it all. Okay. So based on that, Jesus, when asked by his disciples, so Jesus, teach us how to pray. You know, even Jesus, the Son of God, felt it was necessary to pray. And oftentimes he would pull away from the crowds and go off alone. Other times he said, hey, will some of you come with me? And he went to pray. And there was something powerful about the way Jesus prayed. Now, if Jesus, the Son of God, needs to pray, do you think you and I need to? Totally. Thank you very much for that answer. And the disciples said, teach us to pray. And he said, okay, when you pray, pray like this. He wasn't necessarily meaning every time you pray, you have to say these words. Capture the heartbeat of what Jesus was saying. And so Rick Warren shared with us in his notes a couple things based on this passage that I find can be pretty helpful, and I hope it's helpful for you. And man, it's 11:45 already. Wow. I'm going to try to fly through these, all right? You got your notes? Get ready to fill in blanks. First of all, for ancient centuries, there have been people who have prayed on schedule. Daniel prayed three times a day, even when it was against the law. Nebuchadnezzar issued a decree, you know, you can't do this. And still, Daniel would go, and he would pray three times a day. In many cultures, there's prayers that are offered up several times a day. I was going by a building that I was wondering if God was going to give to us. And I stumbled upon an Islamic group now has that building. And I went there at one of their prayer times. And there were several people there praying. Scheduling times of prayer can be helpful. My encouragement, too, is that we become more organic in our prayer and that it's a continuous thing. Paul said, pray without ceasing. This passage we just read, pray in the Spirit at all times with all kinds of prayers, asking for everything you need. Did we read that or was that last service? We read it? Okay. Ephesians 6:18. So I want us to develop and become people that are praying all at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. But if, like me, you struggle to have regular set times of prayer, I encourage you to try this exercise out based on this pattern. Back in the early 400s, praying monks would know to pray when the bells in their monk place, what's a monk place called? Thank you. Their monastery would ring, okay? And there was somebody on schedule to ring the bell and they would go to prayer time. But in the 400s, monks actually invented the first mechanical device that was used to ring a bell. And in Latin, they called it a clock. Clocks were invented to remind us to pray. Isn't that crazy? So the next time you look at your stopwatch or your time when you're, you know, is it lunchtime yet? Let it be a reminder to pray. Psalm 119, David said, seven times a day I pray and I praise you. How many times a day do you pray? Well, I grew up, you know, being taught to pray before a meal, to pray before bedtime, and I do those things just kind of out of routine. But here's a pattern I really kind of like. It says, number one, let the first time you pray be the moment you wake up. And let it be a prayer focused on the Lord's Prayer. The first line in the Lord's Prayer is Our Father. When you wake up at the first moment, think about God, my Father, my Daddy, my Abba. You are there. You've given me another day. And you wake up with the heart of gratitude. A lot of us wake up feeling grumpy or groaning or But imagine if you woke up every day with a heart of gratitude. Doctors actually tell you you'll be healthier. Studies have been shown that depression leads to poor health, while joy and gratitude leads to wellness. And so, we should start each day thinking about that first line, Our Father, who art in heaven. God, He's there. Let us remember, according to 1 Corinthians, it says, What do you have that God did not give you? Everything is a gift from God, and if it was given to you, how can you brag about it? James 1:17 says, Every good gift and every perfect present comes from your Father of lights in heaven. So the challenge there is to wake up, number one, beginning your day in prayer by saying, God, thank you for another day. Thank you for another opportunity to live for you. And whatever God lays on your mind. The principle there is, I thank my Father in heaven for his constant love, and I recall all the ways that he is good to me. Number two, the second part of your day. Now, for some of you, that's getting a cup of coffee or eating breakfast. For some of you, it's jumping right in your car and your commute. Let this be your heartbeat while you're going through that second part of your day. Looking at the second part of the Lord's Prayer, it says in Matthew chapter 6, the second half of verse 9, Hallowed be your name. Let your focus be on who God is. The second blank is, bless God's name at breakfast or on your commute or whatever that next part of your day is. In your time of going, think about who God is. Last summer, we taught on the names of God, and I think we hit like 12 names. There's over 100 names of God. Why? It's not to be confusing. It's because names back in biblical days, times of the Bible, meant a lot more than just, hey, I like this cool name. Let's name the kid this. A lot of times it's spoken to the character or what you hoped for out of a child. And the names of God give us a picture and paint the characters of God. Last week we talked about the name of God called Father or Abba, which means daddy. God saying, I am your loving father. Another word, I put a couple in here of the 100. If you want the whole list of 100, email me, jcousins@hopehillchurch.org. I'll send you 100 plus names, the names of God and what they mean. Eldia. I am the God who knows you and knows everything about you. God does know you. He wants you to know how much he knows you and how much he loves you. Jehovah Rapha, I am the God who heals you. El Shaddai, I am the Almighty God, and I have all the power you need for your life. Jehovah Jireh, I am the God, your provider. I will take care of you in your time of need. Jehovah Shalom, I am your peace. Those who know Psalm 9, 10, say, those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never abandoned those who truly seek you. So in that second time, while you're commuting, while you're riding as a slug, let that be a time where you're focusing on who God is and his name and what he has done for you and what he means to you and how much he loves you. Number three, mid-morning comes. Maybe you're at work and you've hammered out some morning emails, you've taken care of some to-do lists, or made them for the day. You come to a point, and with each of these steps, we're not suggesting that you take 20 minutes to go into a prayer closet somewhere, but just in your comings and goings, you're just having a constant conversation with God. Mid-morning comes, and it's easy for you to get distracted by the ho-hum of the day. And so focus on what matters most. Matthew 6:10 says, as part of the Lord's Prayer, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This part of the prayer helps us to align myself with God's purpose and plans for my life. It's us taking an opportunity, as it says in Matthew 6:33, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll take care of everything else. And so as we come to God about mid-morning each day, if we're sitting here saying, God, I know I'm about to go into this meeting, but I pray even in this meeting that your will would be done, that your kingdom would come. I pray, God, that as I'm about to go to this appointment, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. And each and everything that's coming ahead of me in my schedule, help me to focus on what matters most, your kingdom and your will unfolding in my life throughout my day. Then lunchtime comes, and you come across Matthew 6:11. And my recommendation for you is, if you have a smartwatch or a smartphone, that you would possibly put alarms in, reminders. Or if you're just a smart person, you'd write it down. You'd put reminders in your schedule, reminding you to pray about these steps. The fourth one at lunch, give us this day our daily bread. Hey, bread fits with lunch. If you have a sandwich, it's even better. And at that time, you take time to focus on praying for the things you need. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to have the things we need. Bring your requests to God, and he'll listen to them. You take time to not only ask for your own needs, which is called petition, but you also take time to ask for the needs of those you know around you, which is intercession. On page 204 of your journal, you have an area for you to be writing prayer requests of those you know around you, those in your community groups, those at work that you're praying for. How many of you have somebody at work that you pray for occasionally or regularly? Yeah, that's great. God wants us all doing it. God wants us to pray even for those who we have a little struggle with. Pray for your enemies. Well, maybe they're not enemies, but you get the idea. We take time to pray. 1 Samuel 12:23 actually says this, I'd be sinning against the Lord if I failed to pray for you. We're called to pray for one another. We're called to lift each other up. And so when that lunch hour comes, think about that part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and let us bring our needs, our requests to the Lord. 2 Peter 1:3 says, Jesus has the power of God by which he gives us everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we know him. And you have not because you ask not. So let us start asking. Philippians 4:6-7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead, in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. So mid-afternoon's now coming. Some of you are about to get off work. Some of you, you've had a frustrating day, and this might be a good time to ask for forgiveness. There's maybe some things you've done or said that you need to confess to God and to repent of. But in all seriousness, Jesus leads us to this line in the Lord's Prayer. It says, Matthew 6:12, forgive us of our sins and forgive those who've sinned against us. This is a time in our prayer life where we admit our sins to God, and we also forgive those who have sinned against us. Some of us, it's easy. Okay, God, I messed up. I blew it. Please forgive me. But what can be more difficult at times is to say, now help me to forgive the jerk who cut me off this morning. That can be a little bit more difficult. But as we are forgiven, we are asked to forgive as well. And so we take time each and every day. Growing up, this was something I would do often at night before I went to sleep. My dad just led me, as the psalmist wrote, examine my heart and show me if there's any way that is not of you. And I would pray, I would lay in bed at the end of my day and just say, God, is there anything I did today that didn't please you? Is there something I should have done that I didn't do? And as I'd lay in bed, I'd just think, and as God brought things to mind, okay, God, I see that. I remember now. Help me to do better with that one next time. Let us take time to ask for forgiveness and to offer up forgiveness towards others. And this is really good to do before you get home. Maybe on your commute home, you kind of go before God. You get your attitude right. Maybe there are things that were at work that need to stay at work and don't need to come home with you. And so you take time before you get home, and you deal with that with God on a regular daily basis. Surveys show that there are more arguments 1 hour before dinner than any other time of day. Do you know why? Low blood sugar, okay? You're getting hangry, okay? So deal with that before you take it out on your family. Go to God, confess, ask him, and then go into the next part. God, I'm feeling angry and cranky right now. It's been a long day. Lead me not into temptation. That's the next part of the verse. Number 6, ask God to help you make wise decisions and good choices. Matthew 6:13 says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil or from the evil one. And, you know, we need to realize that we need to come before him. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus was tempted 3 times by the devil before he entered his last 3 years of ministry. And yet he never sinned. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way we were. The Bible tells us that, remember that temptation, 1 Corinthians 10 says, remember that temptation that comes into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. When you are tempted, he will always show you a way out so that you will not give up. Now, we don't always take the way out, and sometimes we give in because God allows us to make that choice, to make that stupid decision. But God always provides a way out, and he's always there and understanding. So our prayer is, God, as I go into my home, help me not to take out my frustration on my family. God, as the night hours unwind, I've had young men come to me and confess areas of temptation in their life. And when it's greatest sometimes is when they're tired and they're alone. And so it's those times where we bring our request to God and say, God, help me to take this thought captive for you. This thought is not good. Help me to focus on you. Another verse that I memorized young growing up and dealing with temptation is, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against it. And so recall verses that will speak into whatever it is you're struggling with and pray those verses. Number 7, as your day unwinds, you come to the end of your day. And the end of your day, end it in an encouraging way. You begin the day with gratitude. Father, thank you for the opportunities that lie before me today. Thank you for the blessings of yesterday. And help me to keep my eyes on you as I take steps in this day anew. I don't know why I just wanted to make that rhyme. It just came out that way. But as you end the day, it's a great way to end with that last line of the prayer. Matthew 6:13. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God, everything that unfolded today, if it wasn't for your glory, forgive me. Help me to put my life more in alignment. The bad things that happened today, I'm reminded, God, that somehow, some way, you promised that even the bad things, God works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. And so this last prayer reminds us that God is in control, regardless of the situations or circumstances unfolding in your life. And this is not the end. Today is another new day for God to work in your life. Today is another day for you to lean on him and trust in him as you take steps going forward. And so I want to, as we close, invite our worship team. We're right on track with the first hour. As our worship team comes up, I've asked them to take time today, lead us in a couple songs. And what I want to encourage you to do is, during this first song, to take time just to sit still. If you feel like singing along, let it be a prayer to God as you sing. But pray. Think about the things we just talked about. Is there an area of your life where something struck a chord today and you need to pray about it? During the time that our worship team is leading us, we'll have prayer teams in the back. Some of us will be up front, and there'll even be time for communion. But my encouragement is, if you take the first song, we're going to sing 2 songs together, and then you just be still, and you just pray to God. Let him speak to you. And if you want to pray with somebody else, grab a friend, a spouse, a family member, or one of our prayer team members in the back. Let God lead you in this time of prayer. For me, as I look back at my life, sometimes it took an emergency for me to pray. There was a time when, after being married almost 2 years, we conceived Jordan, and I was a floor buffer at Walmart and a part-time youth pastor, no benefits. And my parents, and her parents, is Jim up there? Yeah, that guy up there, said, you know what, John, you might need to go into the military. Got a good benefits plan. And so I prayed, God, please don't let that be my path. I made 1,000 resumes at Staples, sent them out, nothing. And then somebody, I don't remember who, said, have you prayed about this? Every time I send a resume, I'm praying, God, let someone answer this with a job. But no, have you really prayed? And so I went and took a day and I just fasted. I skipped all meals, and I just prayed for a solid day. And that was on a Saturday, and Monday I got a call from a church saying, hey, we heard your name. I hadn't even sent them a resume, but I sent a resume to a church in Leesburg, and that guy knew a guy who knew a guy. They said, we heard about you this weekend. We'd like to offer you a job. And thank God I didn't have to go in the Marines. I had already taken the ASVAB and sworn in with the Marines. I was almost Marine. That doesn't earn me any points, does it? When Bailey was born, and there was nothing I could do, all I could do was pray. They told us, Apgar score of 3, she might never walk, never talk. All I could do is pray. She was here this morning. She's going to Liberty. She's living a beautiful life. You can't. She was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, but you look at Bailey. For those of you who know Bailey, that may be a surprise to you. She overcome great things, I believe, because of prayer. When Brandy had her hip surgery and was left paralyzed in one leg, for 6 months in a wheelchair, tons of people were praying, and now she's here. She just walked out of here. Hope House. I was sure God was giving us a little trailer, $4,000 trailer. I was like, wow, this is from you, God. Who finds a house for $4,000? I talked to our team. They were like, yeah, John, go buy it. I was on my way over there with a check, and to only show up to them selling it to their neighbor. It's like, God, what happened? While praying in frustration and anger, calling out to God, I got to see a realtor put a sign out in front of what we now call the Hope House. That's what God had for us. This past year, we've seen 2 fathers and husbands come to know Jesus because of great prayers. I know that these families have been praying for more than a decade for these dads to come to know Jesus, and we got to baptize them this year. Prayer has a way of opening up the gates of heaven. And I need to be the first to admit that I don't pray enough, and I need to start praying more. And I invite you to join me. Let us become people of prayer.